together to hear His Word, there is two things that play a very strong part in us coming together and worshiping God. One of the things that comes involved here is, how are you doing? How are you doing your walk with God? And second, we have Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We come here to praise and honor Him. This morning, as I think about this, and I feel like I need more time, I almost need more time for you. My mind always seems to run and to run and to run. And this morning, I was thinking, somehow I'm going to put on some air brakes and really try to slow down where you don't feel rushed with what I'm trying to say, and where I can have you follow, come along with what I want to say. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." A beautiful verse is Psalm 55, verse 14. And I know it's out of context as far as what David was saying here, but the verse itself is we can apply this as Christians here. Psalm 55, 14 says, "We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company." Now, in context, David is talking about, and I'll forget his name, I think it's his uncle, one that has now turned, become his enemy. Someone close to him that became his enemy. And as he is writing about that, he mentions this. And I thought of this just as a verse for us as a brotherhood. "We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company." Psalm 122, verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." All right. Before we go further, this question that I wanted to ask. It's difficult to do with a large group of people, and maybe it'd be a bit strange. The question is not strange, but for me to feel that you come along with what I'm asking, and this is where for many of you, I know what your answer is. For some of you, I don't. If it was possible for us to fellowship together and conversate, and as we conversate, two things would come out. One thing that would be revealed is how you are doing, circumstances in life. It just, a lot of how we are doing plays into our choices and how we're doing, with God, and if we're strong in the faith, and sometimes if we're struggling, so what that would come out. How are you doing? And the other thing the answer that I would be looking for is, how do you feel? Not just, we're not building on how we feel, but how do you feel? And what would you like in fellowship? Some of you brothers and sisters, I could go to you and say, you know, good morning, God bless you, and we are in fellowship together, and I know where you are at. And there is probably about half of you that I don't know. And I'm not questioning where you're at this morning, but I really want us to dig into here. You know, it's very easy for us to come to a place where we attend church for, should we say, church's sake? And this morning, when I thought about this, and I thought about it in praying about this topic, it just really settled within me to think, you know, our fellowship. Now, if we took the time to find out from each one, if you would be completely honest, and this is where I need the time, where it's almost be nice to, if you can picture whether a sister or a brother coming to you and asking you that question, what would your answer be? And what I'm looking for, the answer I'm looking for that I'd hope you would give me is an answer of longing. An answer of longing in fellowship. Some of you are strong brothers, sisters, as I would come to you, I know we would fellowship. You would be in our fellowship. Mind you, this is not a message about church in one body and so on. This is a message specifically on Christian fellowship. You know, it's, as Ben said, some things that seem to be creeping into the churches. One thing that is very strong in a lot of churches is the independence of families, of people that get saved. You know how, I don't know if you've ever heard the statement, someone gets saved and he does something questionable and you ask him, hey, you know, is that right for you to do? And he would say, look, between me and God, it's good. It's just between me and God. So, and with that, what I'm saying is there's a lot of independence. And fellowship, God's fellowship doesn't leave us a comfortable room of independence. I don't know if you know, or if you've been there, or if you are there, but sometimes we come together and we're in a large group, but we're by ourselves. I guess if I had a desire that I want you to understand is that there are those that are doing well with God and are blessed in a fellowship, and we grow in Christ until He returns. That is how we will be an effective light in our time. But the second part is, I hope for any one of you that is in a place of desire or that's in a place of unknown, I desire that you would make a decision. How will we say this? I desire that you would make a decision to come out, to be free in a sense where you can say, Lord, I want to be solely part of this, of a fellowship. Again, not meaning fellowship, meaning communing with God, communing with brothers and sisters. And I say this, and I want to keep this as healthy and positive as I find words for. We know how easy the tendency is for us to be able to gather together, and because we can be in a large crowd and still be on our own, our hearts cannot bind together. We cannot fellowship together. And I want to mention a few things later on in the message of things that we want to look for or watch out for, but to keep an open fellowship. Now, if God would grant me, I would want to come to each one of you and want to find out, and I know this, and I will add here, I am trusting God to teach me how and what to say so that it's not, that it doesn't come across in a way that it either bothers someone in an unhealthy way. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. And why I say that is, if I came to you and I asked you, brother, sister, would you join us in fellowship? When I ask you that question, I hope you can give me the answer that says, I guess you'd say little, but much would be said, that would say, I love the Lord, I walk with God, I walk in faith, I have I'm free. I'm not bound by anything, and that could be many things. Could go from sin to guilt to all kinds of things. So if I came to you and say, "Would you fellowship with us?" My desire is for each soul here this morning that the soul could say, as we have in 1 John, "My fellowship is with brothers and sisters, and my fellowship is with God." May we long for that fellowship. But to start here, I have a bit of a story that'll just kind of does a little bit with what Brother Ben shared there, that we're, this here is just it gives a good picture of us coming to God, and I thought I would read it before I go further. Imagine that you have come on hard times. You're homeless, penniless, and sleeping on the sidewalk. Your tattered clothes and old dirty blanket are barely enough to keep you from freezing at night. Your meals consist of whatever you can find in the dumpsters. You have lost contact with all family and friends. I'm going to read that again because it's not very, I think we have a hard time grasping that. Imagine that you have come on hard times. Maybe we could go into a little bit of detail. Well, it represents sin, so I'll just keep going. You're homeless, penniless, and sleeping on the sidewalk. Your tattered clothes and old dirty blanket are barely enough to keep you from freezing at night. Your meals consist of whatever you can find in the dumpsters. You have lost contact with family and friends. As you sit on the sidewalk, suddenly the presidential limousine pulls up to the curb. The president gets out and invites you to join him. You get in and are whisked to the airport, where Air Force One is waiting. You fly to Washington and are driven in the presidential motorcade to the White House, where your own room is ready. There are new, clean clothes, all the food you can eat, and servants to meet your every need or whim. But more than that, to your astonishment, the president treats you as his friend. He shares his heart with you and wants you to share your heart with him. At first, you're so dazzled with this incredible change of events that you're only aware of the president himself. But after a while, you realize that you're not there alone. There are many others who have experienced the same thing. You suddenly have a large family of brothers and sisters that care for you. As you exchange your stories and talk of how the president has helped each of you, your relationships deepen. This is an unbelievable fable, right? No, if you've come to know Jesus Christ, it's a true allegory. Definition of fellowship. There'll be a lot of key words that we want to just keep in your mind. Definition of fellowship. Sharing, having or giving a share in something with someone. The association together of persons with mutual aims and interests. Christian fellowship consists of a twofold relationship with the Godhead and with fellow Christians. With regard to the former, the saints, out of the benign grace of God and through the sufferings of Christ for them, are permitted the joy of companionship and association with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With this relationship as a basis, Christians share with one another in a fellowship of mutual sympathy, love, unity, and service. The great blessing that we receive is this, all of us together and to each other. I cannot come and measure myself with you, and you cannot measure yourself with me. Each one of us comes before God and receives forgiveness, and each one of us together with fellowship, praising him for his goodness, always realizing, without him, I am in great need. The fellowship that we have together and the drawing effect that it should have on us is a drawing effect of love and care for each other. Now there is a reality to this fellowship, and I want to. There might be a fair amount of things missing, and you'll have to add them in somehow. As in love, we're drawn together in fellowship. There is one thing, or it could be many, but I'm going to mention specifically one thing that can really hinder us. And this is why I started with the question, how are you doing? If you are not doing well, come to the Lord to do well. If you are doing well, we rejoice with you. And as we want to fellowship, the statement that I said earlier about learning to know what is proper and healthy for a body to hear. The reality of a fellowship is many times the not doing well part is revealed. Do we follow what I'm saying? Many times in our life, the not doing well part is revealed, and there can be struggles in some way, one way or another. And I just have found it much more important to be at a very clear state with my brother and my sister, having a clear conscience, being able to fellowship. And it's not just about a guilty conscience. It is also about the ways of life. The ways of life have a way of coming down on us. We come together in fellowship, and not one of us would look at the other and say, well, I've made it. I'm just perfect now. We would look at each other, and this is, again, I want to lift up in this aspect of fellowship. I want to lift up the aspect of each one of us knowing that I will have a need tomorrow, which can help us and change the sometimes the mindset of feeling Yeah, may it be that we don't feel pushed, but rather that you see the love and hope that is within being in a fellowship. So as I realize tomorrow I'll go through a trial, I'm able to face my brother and say, "Brother, pray for me. I'm going to enter. Monday comes by and I might call a brother and say, "You know what, brother, I'm in a trial. Can you pray for me?" Fellowship. Many of us, that is what we have, is fellowship. I have a little writing here from Lexham's Survey of Theology. It says, "Fellowship is participating, sharing, and communion around the embrace of the gospel by the people of God. Fellowship describes the unity and community of the church that can exist because of the gospel. As such, it is important to note that fellowship with other Christians can exist because God took initiative to bring us into right relationship with Him. God the Father, through Jesus Christ and by the Spirit, has established by His grace a covenantal relationship with humanity. Those who believe the gospel are united in the Spirit through the Son to the Father. This relationship leads to the reality of communion between man and God. Those who are thus in Christ are in communion not only with Jesus Christ and the Father in the Spirit, but also with one another." This for me is very difficult to explain to you. There's multiple times in Scripture it says, if we have God's Spirit, we're one with another. There's some great depth there. If the Spirit of God dwells within us, we are one. Me and you are one, and me and you and Christ are one. And so with my desire this morning, with what I'm sharing is, again, that is the, may that be the drawing that we would feel, all of us together, myself included. May that be the drawing to us. What is that? See, this is, again, where the Bible says, if I have His Spirit, you have His Spirit, me and you are one, me, you, and God are one, or me, you, and Christ are one. And I don't want to miss out the reality side that often tends to struggle with that. So, maybe a good conclusion to us is to live daily to a greater measure that we are pilgrims here. I don't know if it would be truly so, but as I was pondering this, it kind of came to me thinking, is that why I tend to, feel more at home here? Because I tend to live more for my comforts or more for my life. Obviously, we have children. We have so much that goes, and we're busy. So it almost seems like, we're so busy just living life that we forget that we're pilgrims. And again, not that we forget that we're Christians, but simply that acknowledgement in the mind, the thought in the back of the mind that I'm one with Christ. This relatedness, relationship, and communion is fellowship. Your love for God, my love for God, my love for you, this is fellowship. I didn't do my homework on this phrase, but one of the greatest things man experiences in this life is fellowship with God and fellowship with man. You cannot replace that. You could have all the money you want, and it doesn't buy you what friendship and fellowship does. You could have all the money you want, all the fame you want, and it doesn't buy you the relationship and friendship, either whether of a church body or whether of family, even just thinking of family. A man can have all the money he can find, but it doesn't buy him the longing. And God has put within us a longing for fellowship, for relationship. Fellowship did not begin among humans, however. It seems from Trinitarian realities, namely the eternal fellowship of the three persons in the triune Godhead. And if you think it through as that example, that is what it is. You have the Father, you have God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, triune Godhead. And then again, the words come that if you have the Spirit, I have the Spirit, we are one. I think that is amazing. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is amazing. All right. Going forward here, I'm not going to draw anything fancy, just want to paint a little picture here. Brothers and sisters, you are so quiet, I'm not sure if this is healthy. Am I saying something wrong? All right. So expounding a little bit here on this, on fellowship. There is healthy fellowship. I'm going to give us one more here. What I want to say, give as an example, and so that we ponder it, is this. This here is our common Christianity. I mean, you'll see it once I finish. It's a lot of independent people. This man is saved his own way. This man is saved his own way. And they sometimes, you know, maybe they do gather, maybe they don't. They don't feel any tie, any need for church. They don't feel a need for fellowship. And there's something that if you want to ponder this. Why is there a subconscious fear of hell or damnation that often relates to how people live Christianity? And I think that's very unhealthy. To base your Christian life on the fear that the judgment you will get, and yet you don't believe. You don't walk by faith, and yet you have this fear of judgment. And so a lot of people live their Christian life by themselves. My Christian, this is how I live Christian. And that is not healthy, and I doubt that many of those survive. These here, and what I wanted to paint as a picture here, is this is you and I. Well, before I say that, it's difficult to paint a picture how you and I are doing. You know, maybe we are at work, maybe someone's uptown. But however, you and I are about, and the Holy Spirit with us. And that's why I have the second circle. You have the inner circle and then the second circle. It is you and I doing what we're doing with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit in our life. And you can't really draw that. But what I wanted to draw here is, this is a corporate group that functions much different than this group. This group here is a group of us this morning, and our hearts are together, and our minds are together, and we are in with one Spirit abiding together. We're having fellowship. Often when we think about church and fellowship, and I'm just going to say this, and it's not meant to make any side statement, but just, it's. I think you would understand if I said, there's often a feeling of, where you can go to a church and you just don't feel part of it. That's talking about a specific body. But then there is, as Christians, as believers, you can be in places and you just don't feel like you're at all part of it. And that is not something healthy. If you ponder your own personal life, church life, and also life as a Christian, then I would like for you to think about that. How are you doing in fellowship with God and His saints? Not just a building here or building anywhere. The other thing that we can tend to struggle with is, and this has been on my mind a lot, Christianity tends to become culture. Christianity is not meant to be culture. Christianity should never be culture. Christianity is a relationship with God, not a lifestyle. And so often independent people, it can just become a certain way of culture, and we don't want a Christian culture. Well, we could give details, but we want to give out Christian influence, but we as a body don't just want to have a Christian culture. We want to have a relationship with God. And so that is with the Holy Spirit in us. When we gather together, we're all one, not independent. So, having said that, we're going to go into some of the practical parts again, and I hope I don't lose you here. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. So, 1 John chapter 1. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we can think about it in a personal way, and it also can apply in a corporate way. So this morning, it's going to be, how would we say this? This morning, it's going to be corporate and personal. If Jesus came walking within us, and he came to us and reached out his hand, and he said, come, would you walk with me in the way of life? Then our hearts will be ready to say, yes, Lord, I will walk with you. I will follow you. There is a tendency in church life that we forget that that's what we are doing. We are, or again, I'm using the word church. I don't really want to use the word church. I want to use the word fellowship. Again, not a specific body, but it's Christ's saints, God's children, all across the globe, God's children. We want to walk together with the mindset that we are walking together, God's, or the path of Christ. We're walking the path of Christ together. And so we want to ponder and take out this mindset of independence. I want to add here, I think it is well for us to ponder what does it mean to love each other. And so as Christ comes to me and says, here, follow me, that I can come and with the rest of those that are following him, that we follow together. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. This is, he has some unique words here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. There's a lot there. The word of life, change. As you read it, you can see the change. There's going to be a tremendous change. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, change, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know the time of this writing, the church was going through a lot of heresy teachings? They're going through a lot of struggles of false teachings and a lot of teachers within and without. And so here, John writes these words. In verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We want to connect the dots there. We are in fellowship with Christ, that our joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And you can tell what he's writing here. He's starting to... By what you read, you can tell he's starting to maybe give some admonishment there with some of the teachings that they were having coming in. Then he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to skip verse 8, go to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll skip verse 10 there. Okay. He connected very quietly. John connects those two parts. He connects the fellowship with me to you, and our fellowship with God, and he connects that with saying, walk ye in the light. Now, you might say, well, isn't that just normal? And yes, it is normal, or it should be. It should be normal for a Christian obeying Christ that he will walk in the light. And one of the reasons I think about this, and I trust we all do, have you noticed, if you look around you and you look at the teachings and everything that's about you, this whole aspect of having a personal love and relationship with God is, I was listening to a man who was doing, he was supposed to be a minister. Listening to a minister speaking about churches and history, church history, and I was very shocked at what he had to say. And one of the things was, he would go back on Christianity and Christians' attitudes that we are devoted to God and those that aren't, you know, are not saved. He had a lot to say how that is wrong. And I was thinking, how can you as a minister give people all kinds of teachings and not tell them the truth that we need to walk in the light in order to see our King? And so again, it's a normal thing about us and around us to actually walk in the light is becoming strange. Each one of us is, you know, out in the work site, you don't have to be very good to already be really good. The way they talk and the things they do, even among Christians, the attitude that you have, you don't have to be, your heart doesn't have to love God, and they'll already look at you, whoa, this guy's, you know, he's conservative, or, and that's not right. That's not, we don't want them to think that we're, you know, old-fashioned or withheld or whatever they would call it. We want them to see that we love God, and that's the light we want to bring forth. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want to use this verse here and bring it to us abroad. Brother, you and I, we are together, we are one. And we still have to deal with the reality that I'm not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. So there's a possibility that there's going to be hardships, misunderstandings, and trials ahead. There's a possibility that you might offend me, that I might offend you. And here, I want to lift up verse 7. Let us be together as brothers. Let us fellowship and be honest. Let us be at a place of love for the other, that, as the end of verse 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I believe if we as Christians work together as we live, and we help each other with the mindset, not that, oh, you're doing wrong, or there's a lot of examples we could give, but with the heart and mindset that's filled with the love of Christ, the Holy Spirit, looking at our brother and say, brother, how are you doing? Are you well? And caring for each other. And I want to use the end of verse 7, many sins, well, there will be many more victories. And I think we can help many overcome sin as we work together and we help each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I have a few different places of verses. You might not have time to turn there. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. This goes into the aspect of us being one body. We are one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. This here is a blessing. Now I want to ask you this. So if we were told to evaluate your body locally here in Comber, we're going to evaluate the body. If we got together and we would be able to go to each other and we would say, well, how are our members doing? How's my hand? How's my foot? How's my ears? If we went to each other, and which we would not, and it would not be on a Yeah, I know this. Some of these examples don't work very well, because I wouldn't want to make someone feel like it's his job to go to somebody else and see, hey, you know, make sure you're shaped up just right. But if I think of us caring for each other and seeing how are each one of us doing, I want to ask this again, and this goes, I feel like it goes in depth. Some of you, if I were to ask you, how are you doing? You would give me an answer, and I would know that this part of the body is doing well. Some others of you, we haven't fellowshipped enough so that I know how you are doing. Now, I'm going to ask, or going to say a little bit for those that aren't really, some of you might not be sure, am I part of a fellowship? I think there's some of us here that maybe even our lifestyle, I find like with Mennonites, for example, Mennonites are very held back. So you go onto a job site and you very quickly find out that all the Mennonites are over there and all the rest are over there. Maybe that's where the term the Engelschaft came from. Everyone always thinks that we're just separated. And it seems like even mentally, it's hard for them to cross that and say, hey, we, all of us here, there is a cultural difference when there's the Mennonites and over here is those that aren't Mennonites. And so some of us have a harder time, I think, just being open. And I want to draw you this morning. If I could find out, which I don't, it's not my place, but if I could find out, how are you? You know, and who some of you, you'd be like, well, I'm doing well. So you don't know who I'm pointing to. And there is no one I want to point at. But if you know what I'm saying, with as you hear me speak, maybe your heart goes, and this is where I'm hoping to reach. I'm hoping to reach you. I'm going to say it like that. Maybe you're the one that's not sure. Maybe you're the one that's battling with this fellowship. Maybe you're battling with things in life, and you're not sure how to move forward in life. And I guess what I want to say is, I invite you into fellowship. So maybe someone is saying, you know what, I'm really battling with, one of the examples that they gave, I'll be reading something here further, but one of the examples they gave was the common struggle for a parent that is when their son goes wayward. The tremendous struggle for parents and how to relate to their children when they go wayward as an older children. And let's use that for an example. Are you struggling with that? And what I'm asking you is I'm inviting you to come to a place where you can feel like, you know, brothers, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Again, not specifically meaning sin, but again, opening up this fellowship, because we want to be in a place, I need to explain something. I don't know if I have enough words to do that. Why is it when you're not doing very well physically, can we say, why do we often turn on God? And so maybe some of the plans went wrong. Maybe jobs went wrong. Maybe whatever. Why is it often that our relationship with God suffers? So somebody really mistreated you at work. And all of a sudden it seems like you're constantly struggling. And all of a sudden, you know, you find your Bible time reading dry. And, you know, your physical things really affect your spiritual things. And I guess what I want to invite you to is, don't be in a place where you feel hindered and boxed up. Come out into a fellowship where you can, brothers, you know, we pray for you and we work together for strength. Ephesians 4 verse 15, it encourages us here. Ephesians 4 verse 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God has given us a beautiful experience of fellowship. All right, so there is much to say about sweet fellowship, and I know, and I trust, actually, I hope all of us, we experience that. And as we experience that fellowship, let's be diligent in keeping that fellowship. We're going to go into a few things here now that might be a little bit on a personal level. I want to read a little more of this story here that was given for this presidential ride. And yet, as we all know, relationships may also be the source of much grief and pain. We've all experienced disappointing relationships. And just to give you a little side note, many of us struggle with relationships. Some of us, it's because of how we live. You know, I remember what it would take. What does it take for you to, let's say, your family all of a sudden gets divided? Maybe someone. I mean, it's hard to use a good example here, but you take some turns where they feel like you're not a part of them. There's if I think about health, and I think about, you know, even here us as a body, all of us have been at a place where we've either left some behind, or we've separated ways in some form or another, and it causes disappointments in relationships. And I'm not sure if it's, again, I sometimes think maybe we have some things to learn about how we respect and relate to others. We don't want to compromise, but at the same time, we don't want to be disrespectful. And let me just say this within this. Relationships may also be the source of much grief and pain. Let us cling to God and His Word. And this goes right down to forgiveness, goes to loving our neighbor as ourself, that we would not be bothered, hindered, or dragged down by our own disappointments that come along. Sometimes we can go and partake of a church, and we've had a bad experience elsewhere. We partake in this church, and our hearts are hard. Our hearts have walls. You know, we won't allow us to be approached because of the pain of the past. And there again, my heart would be to invite you this morning. I would invite you to fellowship. And that just means, you know, to come together in all of honesty. Some of you who are newcomers here, I don't know what you're going through and what is in your past. I don't know how you're relating to those of elsewhere. Some of you have been here attending here for a while. So I would just invite you. Again, it's not comber, but it's the invitation of God's children, invite you to fellowship. This here connects again. We would say, well, it's church, and yet somehow your feelings really affect you, even the decisions you make regarding church. Some have a bad experience here, and they fall wayward. That's what they do. A lot of them fall wayward somewhere else. So be careful in your hearts how you're doing, that your true desire is God's will and not something to do with within ourselves or anything of carnal nature. Seek God and seek fellowship, but not preference and all kinds of other things. Because here it says, at the root of all such disappointments is sin, which causes alienation from God and from one another. But in spite of the reality of such painful relationships, we all still know that true joy does not consist in the accumulation of wealth or fame. True joy consists in the experience of true fellowship. And then here it gives a physical example. Picture a man on his deathbed, all alone, except for the nurse. He says, bring me today's Wall Street Journal so that I can see how my investments are doing. Give me a phone so that I can call my attorney to see how my lawsuit is going. There is a poor man. Picture another man on his deathbed who doesn't have own much, but he's surrounded by caring family members who are telling him how much they love him. He is a man who knows God and knows that soon the Savior, who loved him and died for him, will welcome him into heaven. There is a rich man. He is a man who enjoys fellowship with God and with others. There is a physical need, and I know this needs a balance. It needs a balance because you can kind of extend this too far, I think, as well. There is a physical need of a soul being able to pour out and share his heart in how they're doing and maybe the struggles they're in. Within a church setting, what we often have as well is there is unspoken messages. One of the messages can be where a soul that is hurting, when you're not able to share your needs, you sometimes feel inferior. You're not at a place of wanting to pray about things. You hold yourself back. Again, we know what this is like. Sometimes when you feel inferior, you're not willing to share. You're not willing to share at a prayer meeting. You're not willing to share on a lot of things. We tend to hide our weakness. We want to appear to be doing well. We build up barriers in our hearts which separate me from another. And though me and you might look alike, yet we are not together. This all can happen in a body. When we have barriers in our hearts, we cannot receive God's blessing. And this is also of truth. It is not good for us just to get together and get along. God didn't intend for us to get together Sunday morning and just to get along. God intended for us to love Him, adore Him, worship Him with one heart in unity. Unity, there's much explaining to do there. God wants us together in one. And God does see our hearts and He sees our learning path. But He wants us together. When I come to fellowship, I'm blessed because I'm coming here to worship God and you're coming to worship God. We together, I know that your heart is to worship Him, and so we worship together. So I'm going to say it like this. If there's any soul here that is hurting, if there's a soul here that is in need, I want to tell you two things. Number one is, you will struggle and struggle and struggle unless you can come to God and receive help. Sometimes we need someone to speak to. I would ask you, find yourself someone to speak to. And again, I want to verbalize, why is it when I'm not doing well with God that I draw away from everyone? I think there's a saying that says, when things go wrong, I'm going to forget how that saying goes. But it is again to the effect that when things go wrong, the one who I turn to, the one who I should turn to, him I blame. And so let us not in struggle, run away, but let us run to God. Let us run to our brothers and sisters and to God. So let us not feel inferior, and let us come to a place of doing well. Now, if I were just to imagine or try to paint a picture, maybe I can't throw out a number, but for just so you understand what I'm saying, I will. Again, maybe 75% of you are like, I'm so blessed to walk with God, and we rejoice. I don't have any other thought but to say, I want to draw out anyone that is not doing so well. I'm not saying you're not doing well, and of course, there's so many in front of me. You know that I don't know you as far as where you are at. But you know where you're at. Sometimes we read scripture that way, we should bow our knee to God. And it's almost like our mind does one of those they and forgets, oh, me. When we read that man shall bow his knee, maybe I want to read it saying, I will bow my knee. And I'm just calling out to you, if you have a need, do not be shy with your need. If you want God's blessing and fellowship, you need to come free of your burdens. I'll say it like that. More can be said there, but I'll leave it there. One of my desires for this message here this morning is that it would enlighten, bring us all to a place of just again rejoicing in fellowship. And I know all of us do. Since this whole pandemic and us not being able to gather together, we get to gather together, and it is a blessing. It is such a blessing to be able to gather together, sing together, praise God, and hear His word being preached. And I think it's very, very important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read through this and try to take out the key words that we're going to have here. So Unity in the Body of Christ is the bit of a title there in front of the verses. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll first read from verse 1 to verse 7, and then we'll keep going. We'll start again at verse 14. Look at the challenge that it gives us, and we can take this together as a body. Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Here's the practical side. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So if we stop there at verse 7, maybe we would read together and let's reread verse 6. So we're gathered together this morning and we would say, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that's in us all. Then verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ has given us a measure of grace. He is with us. He is with us all. And does that not somewhat, and I think this would be subconscious, but does it not somewhat subconsciously lead you to think, you know, oh, is this where it stops? Even as a message, if I think about this, and I think of how much fellowship I've had with so many of you, I felt like, Lord, why do you want me to preach this morning? Many of you, you know, it is such a blessing. As Brother Ben shared, you know, you look about and look around, and we are blessed. We're blessed together. And yet, we have growing to do. Now, there's one verse, and we're going to skip to that verse first here. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. So we've stopped here. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we are blessed. We have God with us, the Holy Spirit within us. We are together as a body. Let's go to verse 27. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Very interesting verse here. Neither give place to the devil. Isn't that one of those irritating side notes again? Why did that come in here? You know, all these good things that Paul is writing, and there's such a good message, and we are, you know, this is that message where yes, we agree together, we're blessed to be together, we rejoice in Christ. Then he gives us one of these verses, but neither give place to the devil. It's kind of like, oh, yeah. And I think it is healthy for us. It reminds us again of our tendencies. And that's why in the beginning I said, we are not perfect. And we're going to continue to make mistakes and need to forgive and so on. So with this aspect of fellowship, again, just wanting to say that, let us draw together each one. Again, if I had that time to ask each one, how are you doing? You might say, today I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And we could look at each other and say, you know what? Tomorrow we could face a trial. But we are together. And on it would go. To each person, some of you, maybe you struggled today. Maybe you struggled yesterday. And someone might come up to you and say, take heart, brother. But the truth is, we might face another struggle tomorrow. So we want to be strong. We want to be strong together. Let's go to verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. See, that's where our struggles start. There they are. And this is where it's so... There's two struggles here. Well, we've only read verse 7 or verse 14, but there are two things here. One is our natural tendency is to just let it be. Our physical body is not always inspired to fight spiritually. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you and I together, we know this. You don't have to hide it from me. I won't hide it from you. We know this together. Then here we have the second problem. We have an outside source that is coming here. And as he is writing there, all these strange things, like we had this with the opening, these strange things that are around us, and they're being forced into the open as if normal and right. They're not right. They're wrong. They're sinful. And yet, it's around us. It's around us. So we have this. I'm going to read verse 14 again. Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It doesn't mention it here, but brothers and sisters, we're going to need each other to win the victory. Christ gives us the victory, he gives us the strength, but my oh my, we really will need each other. And definitely, as you know, when things are trialsome, when we are together, we bless each other, we fellowship together, it makes it much easier when we are together. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God in Christ will look to you and say, brother and sister, did you do your part for the church today? I think that's a tremendous blessing. What a privilege. Someone's going to look at me and say, brother, did you do what God has called you to, have I done what God has called me to do for the church today? Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now it's going to go on and give us a little more detail of what we are not to do, but I want to add here, we're not thinking specifically about, let me say it like this. When it says here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put off the old man, put on the new man. We want to, in our hearts here, we want to put this together. Verse 27 said, neither give place to the devil. So maybe for us, as some of the verses talk about here, we're not alienated. We're not doing all kinds of sinful things. So we're going to gird up our loins, as Peter says, and we're going to be careful on other things. And maybe I'll mention a few more of those. Some of them are personal things. Our feelings might be our relationships and all those the things that come together there. Let us put aside the things that hinder us and put on the new man. And I want to draw us to, as we put on this new man as a body, we are this new man. We are this bride for Christ. You're going to put on the new man. And then, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corruption communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I hope that does give you a good picture of us being vibrant Christians in a fellowship together. I will read a few more verses here. Philippians 2, 1 to 5. If you want to turn there, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. I was looking through verses more verses in this, in light of a fellowship, in light of a corporate group, it actually paints a very beautiful picture. And I wonder what it will be like in glory land with the saints to be before Christ with all those in glory, with the holiness, righteousness, purity. How amazing that will be. Every heart. You know, today we might say, well, my energy is at level 1. The next person says, oh, my energy is at level 10. You might look at, wow, I'm a little discouraged. And the next person says, oh, I'm so blessed, so happy, rejoicing in the Lord. There's all those waves in this life. Think of it. Thousands upon thousands sitting before Christ, and every single one at maximum capacity is going to glorify God. How amazing that will be. Everyone with full energy, with a full agreed heart, yes, this is whom we glorify. Philippians 2 verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I will read in closing here, Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 21. Our dear Lord is looking down to each soul and desires that each one of us would follow through. Just going to look for a verse here in Revelations. Our Lord looks down at each one of us and wants us to have the victory. He desires that we would have the victory. And what a blessing it is to look at His Word and to see all the things He tells us, the beauty, the immense, what can we call it, grace? You know, the grace that we receive by reading God's Word, the everything that is there to help us along the way. And God calls each one individually. And this morning I would like to tell us God is calling us together corporately, collectively. I think God desires, and we know this, He reaches to that farthest soul in the corner. I want to save you. But at the same time, He is looking to the whole church and is saying, where is my bride? That is amazing. Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. In closing here. That He would grant you, this is all of us, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I would like to pray with us. I will close there. I trust that this would build, has built in some way, a desire within us, one, to rejoice with our fellow brothers and sisters, and second, that we would consider Christ's bride a treasure, and that we would work together to gain the victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Dear Lord, we gather here together this morning in number. There's quite a few of us here, Lord. Lord, we know that you look down upon us and see us here.
God, we gather here to glorify your name. We gather here, Lord, to learn of you. Lord, I pray that you would touch each one of us. Lord, there is blessed brothers and sisters here that are rejoicing in you, walking faithfully in your steps. Lord, I have to think, is there any here that are struggling, that are have blurred vision, that aren't sure about things? Lord God, are they experiencing pain? God, we are blessed, as you have ordained it so, that we would be together in a fellowship. Lord, for any of them here that are hurting, God, I pray that in some way that you would reach out to them and lift them up. And if you want to use one of us, a brother or a sister, help us, Lord, to be a vessel to help them. God, help us to care for each other as our body does for itself. When the hand is hurt, we know it. When the foot is hurt, Lord, we know it. God, we care for it. Lord God, help us to care for each other here. Lord, none of us can look to the next one and say, well, I am a little better than you. Oh God, we look to you and we all agree. Lord, it's your gift to us, your righteousness. Not us, not our own. Lord, bless us. Bless us together as a body. Bless each heart and give them that desire to be part of this body. And Lord, for all of us, as you call us in this body to be at work and to work, God, your bride, the global bride, not just here in Comber. Lord, help us to be faithful servants. Lord, you've also told us that we are your children. God, we bless you for this. Help us, Lord, to faithfully serve you as dear children. God, we give you thanks for blessing us with this privilege of being considered your child. Lord, bless each one here as we separate. God, I pray that you bless their day. And Lord, I pray as we go from day to day that you would touch our hearts and our minds, that we would remember, Lord, I am your child. I am part of a bride, a body. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.